This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. President Trump has floated the idea of arming more teachers and school staff to try to help prevent another school shooting like the one in Florida last week that killed 17 people. The president says mass shooters count on schools being gun-free zones.
It sounds so great. It is such a target for the killer. They look for gun-free zones. Because believe it or not, they don't want to get killed.
Earlier today, the head of the National Rifle Association, Wayne LaPierre, expressed similar comments before a conservative political action conference.
While we drop our kids off at school that are so-called gun-free zones that are wide open targets for any crazy madman bent on evil to come there first.
President Trump first mentioned the idea of more guns in schools during yesterday's meeting with survivors and families affected by the Florida school shooting. Today, the president clarified a bit. He tweeted that there should be a few, maybe 20%, he said, armed teachers who would receive, quote, rigorous training and could receive bonuses if they were in school armed. Now, the Gifford Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence says at least 8 states either allow or don't specifically prohibit concealed weapons in K-12 schools. And the Council on State Governments says in Rhode Island, for example, those with concealed weapon permits are allowed to have a firearm in a public school. While it appears that many educators do not support arming more teachers, about 42% of Americans in a poll out today say that teachers with guns probably would have prevented the Florida shooting. Ashley Kurth is a teacher who sheltered 65 students during the Florida shooting last week, and she spoke at a CNN town hall last night.
When I had those hundreds of terrified children that were running at me, my question to that is, am I supposed to get extra training now to serve and protect on top of educate these children on how to be these eloquent speakers that are coming up and presenting issues to you? I mean, am I supposed to have a Kevlar vest? Am I supposed to strap it to my leg or put it in my desk? How am I supposed to go on that way?
We're now joined in the studio to talk about this by Lisa Graustein. She's been a teacher for more than 20 years. She's currently at Codman Academy Charter Public School in Dorchester. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me here.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you think good guns in schools would help keep bad guns out? Are you a teacher? Is this a good idea, a bad idea? Could it make school even more dangerous, or could it prevent a shooting? Are you a parent or a student? If we don't put more security in schools in the form of guns, what do we do to keep our schools safer? Call us. Let us know what you think. 800-423-8255 is our number. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also tweet us at Radio Boston. So, Lisa, let's talk a little bit about the plan to beef up school security by arming more people. This plan that the president is talking about now, clarifying a bit today, is it a way at all to prevent another school shooting?
I don't think so at all. As a career educator for 20 years, I have often put myself between my students and threats of violence against them, be it from another student, from an adult, from people on the street, from people who are sexually harassing them. And not a single time in that situation do I think having a gun would have kept my students safer. Mm-hmm. I think it would have escalated the situation. In the event of an active shooter in a school, it means I would have to be near the active shooter, I would be prevented from protecting my students, and I would also have to be a good enough shot to take that person out. The likelihood that I'm going to have that training expertise and be able to react that way in the middle of a history class, I think, is not possible for most teachers, not alone the fact that most of us became teachers because we care about young people and we want to teach them. I'm really good at teaching reading, writing, and history. I did not go into the military or the police force because that's not where I'm called and that's not where my skill set lines.
And are they separate skill sets, though? Can't some, it's not saying all teachers, the president, I'm going to push back a little bit. The president isn't saying all teachers. He's saying maybe 20% of teachers, and they would be trained, and maybe they would have something of a military mindset? Or do you think it's just too different? Two completely different things that cannot be unified in one, and it's not the way to go.
Well, I've never shot a gun, so I can't speak to that. What I can speak to, I've worked in a Boston public school that had over 1,000 students. If I was the 20% of staff that was armed and trained, there's no saying that I would be anywhere in the building near where the active shooter was. Large schools are huge. There's many, many rooms and hallways. So 20% I don't think is a viable number, let alone the fact that that makes every teacher a potential target for an active shooter. They're not going to know which teachers are armed, so they're going to go after every teacher. Right now, if we know teachers are unarmed, we're less likely to be targets, and it gives us more time to get our students to safety.
Now, you said you had to get in the middle of your students in different difficult situations, violent
yes
situations. What comes to mind in that, and what was it about the way you handled it, do you think, that potentially staved off a terrible outcome? Did that happen? There was no terrible outcome? I mean, I'm not even sure.
So in all the situations, my students and I walked away intact and unharmed, maybe emotionally shaken. Sometimes it's been police profiling my students inaccurately, so me getting between the police and my students. Sometimes it's been out on field trips or when we're out on the street of, you know, somebody is drunk and they start hassling my students. One time, one of my students, Jay, rocked across the street after a gym class and a man got out of his car and started chasing him down the street. And he had a tire iron in his hand. And in each of those cases, I was very clear my job as their teacher was to protect them, was to physically protect them. In many cases, that meant me intervening with whoever the aggressor was to try and de-escalate that conflict.
And do you think as a teacher you were trained to do that?
No, I got no training in that whatsoever. Oh. I do that because I'm committed to my students and I believe that's part of my responsibility. I'm also a 5'4" white blonde woman, so I'm physically not very threatening to many people. So when I approach somebody who's in a conflict and I can talk to them calmly, I introduce myself, I remind them that they're dealing with a young person, I engage other people in the community in the street to come into this with us to try and de-escalate the conflict. If I had a gun in that situation, I am now the biggest threat on that street. And particularly if we look at the fact that all these mass shooters have been men, right? I'm now threatening their manhood. I'm threatening their ability to dominate over me. I don't want to do that. In that situation, I want to get me and my students out of that space and into a safe space. Having a gun would escalate that situation. I've assumed some of these people I've engaged with have had weapons on them, right? If I have a weapon, they're more likely to pull that weapon. Once the weapon is out, somebody's getting hurt and somebody's getting injured. If I don't have a weapon, I can de-escalate the situation. We can move away. We can walk away safely.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned that you don't have a gun. We did speak with a teacher who is trained in you. Using a gun, former Marine reservist Aaron Stone. He now teaches in the Boston Public Schools. And while he knows how to use a gun, he says it would be too difficult for teachers to educate and manage the responsibility of a gun at school. Let's listen to a bit of what he told us today.
I can't emphasize enough. You have to be 100% in complete positive control of that firearm and aware of it at all times in relationship to yourself and others around you. That is why we have a complete and separate job career track for individuals who take on that responsibility.
Lisa, that was Aaron Stone, who's a Marine reservist and a teacher. He thinks they're two different things here, and the two should not be mixing. And I think he's alluding to a bit there, the dynamics between teacher and student. Does that, you mentioned in situations that you had to de-escalate and how a gun might have changed that, but what about just in the classroom itself? Do you think it would change things?
I think it would change things, and I think it would make many people, including myself, feel unsafe. Many of my students, if not all, have lost friends or family members to gun violence, so a gun by its very presence is re-triggering of a severe trauma for many of my students. I've lost 9 students to gun violence. One of my housemates has been shot and killed, so I have a lot of emotions that come up for me. I also think about last week when we were in school, I was reading with some kindergartners. We were reading about East Africa. I had worn some jewelry. After finishing the book, I had 5 kindergartners around my body looking at the jewelry I was wearing, exploring it, and I think about if I had a gun on me, the entire time I'd have to be worried about, is a kid touching it? Are they triggering the safety? Is it going to go off and accidentally shoot somebody? And instead, I was just there with a pair of earrings and a book, and I could just be with the kids, and it was safe.
Okay. Our lines are full, so apparently lots of people want to weigh in on this conversation. So John is calling from Worcester. John, you're on the air.
Hi. My point of view is that if, regardless of guns being legal or illegal, if somebody wants to shoot somebody or kill somebody, they're going to do it. But then again, like the issue in a school, any place where kids should be safe, I think the doors should have somewhat bulletproof in a way where they can't even be shot open unless this person wastes his ammunition on opening the door. And then each door should be shut automatically if this person happens to get out in the hallway, and then he could be isolated in the hallway with nowhere to go and no way to get into classrooms, where like the only one that could release the lock is something like the police department or military force, whatever you're going to have come in there. I think it would bring him into an isolated situation where you could ring a bell the minute you think that things are happening. Everybody's aware of what's going on. They could maybe have an escape route out a window or something like that in each classroom.
Right. So essentially,
all the doors closed, you know, all the doors closed. He's isolated.
So, John, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to make sure that I'm hearing you correctly. What you're saying is security plans, strong security plans in place, locking it up, making sure the schools are adequately secure is enough. Is that right?
No, that's not enough. I honestly think there should be a trained personnel on site, and that person maybe should be trained to go to the area that maybe that, you know,
with guns.
Person is with a gun. Or, you know, they have lasers now that can actually put a person right down, whatever it takes. But it doesn't, you know, solve the issue where people could be in a classroom with a gun locked. I know that, but it would definitely isolate the situation. It's terrible no matter what way you look at it, you know.
Okay, John, I think we're losing you. Thanks so much for the call. Paul is on the line from Lunenburg. Paul?
Hello, how are you?
Okay, what would you like to say? You're a teacher, I understand.
I am. I'm a public school teacher, and I can tell you that I have had a number of conversations over the last week about this, and all of my colleagues are on the same page. We are opposed to the idea of arming teachers, and I would like to speak to your guest's last point about the idea of being safe. There is something called the weapons effect, and she talked about that. Just the presence of a gun changes people's perspectives. But I would add on some brain science to this. When you have students who are in stress, their primitive brain has taken over. And so the higher cognitive functionings don't engage. They're in survival mode. And to create a permanent environment that is restrictive, non-conducive to learning – it's completely antithetical to the whole purpose of a school, and relationships are what keeps students safe. And you're gonna add a gun, it's gonna create a barrier to creating those relationships.
Well, some folks might say, you know, just the presence of a gun, if it's a concealed weapon, doesn't necessarily have to alter the dynamics of a classroom all that much, does it? Does it, Paul?
I would argue that the knowledge, the awareness that the students have leads them to guess which teacher is armed, who is, you know, who's carrying, who's not carrying. It's a distraction. And as, you know, we've had gun violence in my school community as well. A constant reminder. There's going to be a population of my students who are in a elevated state of stress. They can't learn when they're in that mode. So it doesn't have to be out and exposed leaning against the wall. Knowledge that they're in the building changes the perception of now what the building is, what it means, my role in it. Should I be worried? They seem to be.
All right. Thank you. Good points. Good points. Relationships keep schools safe, and guns would change that. We just want to bring someone else into the conversation briefly here because he's got some limited time. Michael Torin is executive director of Safe Havens International, and this is a company that specializes in K-12 school security. He's spent 35 years in public safety positions. Michael, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, ma'am. Glad to be here.
So you've dealt with school safety in the past, and you've responded to school shootings. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, ma'am. We're actually a nonprofit. We're the world's largest school safety center. We've assessed 6,000 K-12 schools in 24 countries. I'm on my 12th and 13th active shooter cases now. I've worked terrorism. We've worked these type of events here in the U.S. and in many other countries where they're just as common, actually, as they are in the U.S. They may take a different form. They may use a butcher knife, car, or bomb. But I've worked over 300 catastrophic events, and I've been full-time in this field for 35 years.
So you've assessed schools for their safety. Would guns help?
Well, it's a little bit more complex than that. We've had 3 active shooter events stopped by U.S. educators who are armed, which is actually kind of a surprising number given how rare these events are. But I think those are either the whole, you know, armed teachers, banned guns. Both of those approaches overlook a tremendous amount of data. Most people in this country do not realize that the number of people murdered in our schools is about half of what it was 1970 to 1980. When we see these catastrophic events, again, I work these, I meet victims, I look at the video footage, crime scene photos, they are catastrophic events, but they actually represent less than 8% of the 2,000 deaths on K-12 campuses in this country. from 1998 to 2013, which is our best data. And what I think most people don't realize is for every one of these events that you see, there are 10 to 20 events that are successfully averted through relatively low-cost approaches that have proven time and time again to be effective. And one of the concerns we have as a center is we spend a great deal of time debating very theoretical approaches at best, teaching, for example, teaching students and staff to attack a gunman as a last resort, and a lot of these things. And we're not talking about the things that have actually repeatedly proven to be effective. And I've worked not just in Vietnam and around the world, but right there in Boston. I'll be up there again in a few weeks. I've spent quite a bit of time assessing schools, working with clients, public and non-public school clients. I'll be teaching there on March 13th, combined Jewish Philanthropies, a session they're sponsoring free for law enforcement.
Well, Michael, I just want to say something. First, I want to go back to, we'll probably talk to you when we have more time when you come to Boston, but you had mentioned something that stuck out to me, and you said three active shooter events were prevented by armed educators.
Yes, ma'am.
When was that?
Pearl, Mississippi was the first. That's where the assistant principal was a member of the National Guard. The attacker had basically emptied his rifle, was starting his car, was about to run down students who were running down the street to get away from the school. And the assistant principal retrieved his military service pistol, loaded it, and took him into custody. Second case was in Pennsylvania. I want to say it was Edinburgh, and I'm trying to remember.
But can you just tell me in what time frame these?
Oh yes, ma'am. These are in the last 15 years.
In the last 15 years.
And we had another event. A teacher was almost shot during a home visit, and he, had a gun. It was trained, and he stopped the young man from shooting him. Now, again, I want to be cautious. I'm suggesting to you that these statistics don't make up for a firm database that's an effective approach. There are situations where it may be appropriate, but that's not a typical recommendation from our center.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you said there were low-cost approaches that could do this much more effectively because you don't typically support arming school staff. So can you give me two of those low-cost approaches that you think we could implement?
The most effective multidisciplinary threat assessment and management for less than it costs the Boston Public School System to do a security camera upgrade. The U.S. Secret Service and U.S. Department of Education used to put on some phenomenal evidence-based training on how to detect whether somebody who made a threat actually poses a threat, which also helps to prevent kids from being discarded because they say something in anger. It lets you evaluate whether they're dangerous or not. And they used to do great training on that, and the funding was cut for that about 8-10 years ago. Mm. That's just one. There are other behavioral trainings that are very effective. And these, by the way, these measures don't just prevent the rare active assailant attacks. They also help address the more common homicides that do not reflect that, and other problems that, as your educator guest alluded to, schools are often faced with other difficult challenges, and they help for those too, not just the catastrophic events.
Okay, Michael Torn, Executive Director of Safe Havens International, which specializes in K-12 school security. Thanks very much for being with us, Michael.
Thank you, ma'am, and you all have a great day.
You too. I also want to make sure that we get the voice of a teachers' union in here as well. Jessica Tang, the president of the Boston Teachers' Union, is on the line right now. And Jessica, thanks very much for being with us.
I'm glad to be here.
So what's the union's position on this idea that perhaps arming more educators could help prevent another school shooting?
It is very reflective of the two previous teachers who spoke. We absolutely believe it is not a good idea. I've heard, obviously, from lots of teachers about this since even last night, and nobody thinks it's a good idea or that this is the right focus on how to help our students and keep them safe.
What are you hearing from your members?
That we need funding for actual, a lot of what our previous speaker was just talking about, training for social-emotional supports, behavioral health supports. A lot about how are we having funding for guns when we haven't even had funding for librarians and nurses and papers and pencils and things that we currently need already. Hmm. And that needs to be the focus of, I think both figuring out how do we have common sense gun reform finally passed. We need less guns, not more, in schools. And then how do we also make sure that our students are getting the social, emotional, behavioral health supports that they need and proper ratios and staffing for our social workers, guidance counselors, school psychologists, et cetera.
You know, I read a national poll of teachers that was done shortly after the Sandy Hook shooting, and it suggested that about 20% of teachers then supported a similar measure to have more armed people on school campuses to try to prevent another shooting. Obviously, it's too early to take polls about what we've been talking about now, but I'm wondering if there's a difference, do you think, that when a proposal like this is floated, if you are hearing support for it, it's at an emotional time, and that may change over time. I'm going to ask you this question, Jessica, and I also want to ask Lisa, who's in the studio with us. So, Jessica, you first.
Sure. I mean, I think that sometimes the emotional response to say, oh, well, if they have guns, then if we just had guns too, that we'd be better, we'd be okay. But I think when you really think about what that means to actually have a firearm in your classroom, the amount of training that would take, and also, you know, speaking to what others have said, we are, as educators, about teaching and learning, about supporting academic and social-emotional growth needs. We are about de-escalation, and just the presence of a gun escalates everything. That doesn't actually make things better. And I think we also have to take a step back and think to ourselves, how did we get to this place in society where we're actually debating whether or not teachers should be armed in schools at all?
Well, what if you hear somebody like our guest who we just heard from? We heard from Michael Torin, who said, you know what, three active shooting events were prevented because educators were armed.
I'd also point to the fact that he also said that is the minority, not the norm. And also, when I was listening to him, it was a very specific situation. One was actually a home visit. It wasn't actually in a school. And there are other much better cost-saving measures, too, that we can utilize that have much higher, I think, returns in keeping students safe.
Okay. And Lisa wanted to weigh in on this as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, we haven't addressed what the underlying issue is, and I think what has changed since Sandy Hook is that we have a much broader view on the ways that toxic masculinity and other forms of oppression are just rampantly visible in our country right now, and where that's encouraging people to act out, as we have a leader in the White House who says incredibly derogatory and negative things about many, many people. And so if we actually want to talk about keeping our kids safe, we have to talk about why is it that men feel like they can pick up guns and take out their anger and wrath and pain on other people's bodies. That's the issue we need to be addressing. In the interim, we need to do the protocols and procedures to keep schools safe, but we have to address the underlying issues.
Right. Jessica, last word to you. What would make schools safer? You said more training, more social-emotional education. Are those the biggies?
Yes, and also less guns in our schools, less guns in our communities, and common sense gun reform. We need to heed the call of the students from Stoneham Douglas. They were passionate, they were eloquent, and the time for action is now, and I agree, never again is what we need to be focused on, getting to the root causes of these problems and addressing them.
Jessica Tang, president of the Boston Teachers Union, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
I want to try to get in a few more calls because our lines are still full. Corey is calling from Brookline. Corey, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm a teacher, and I think that, you know, if the goal is to increase gun sales, the idea of arming teachers is a really excellent way to do that. But I wanted to point out that teachers, I am one, I can attest, we are human beings, too. We are susceptible to all the different stressors out there in the world. You know, teaching is a tough job sometimes. And, I love being a teacher, and I don't knock teachers ever. But who's to say that the next mass shooter wouldn't be a teacher? I don't understand this perception that teachers would be immune from the types of issues that cause, not to mention accidents happen all the time when there are guns involved. And even the best trained individuals, we see it happen in law enforcement, make mistakes. And why would we have children in this situation? This is a place where children are captive to the teachers in the room. And I see it ending in either at best a deadly mistake, at worst, you know, a horrible homicidal incident at the hands of a teacher. It could happen.
All right.
I just can't see supporting that kind of thing.
All right. Corey, thanks so much for your call. Lisa Graustein, last word here. What do you think would make schools safer then? It seems like overwhelmingly we're hearing from folks that guns, they think, are not the answer. What would help?
I think it goes back to what Jessica Tang, the head of BTU, was saying, was that it's about supporting the emotional, social growth and learning of our students. I think it's also about meeting all of our students' needs. We live in a state in which 20% of our kids go to bed hungry every night. We live in a country in which we've elected a leader who can say incredibly derogatory things about people. And we also live in a country in which Black and brown students have been being shot for years and not gotten this level of attention. If we can start to address the racism, the toxic masculinity, the oppression that is happening, and the ways in which we let kids pay the price for our mistakes, I think we're going to raise a generation of young people who are going to be able to look out for each other and can also meet their social and emotional needs without doing violence against other people. And until we do that, I think we're all living in a place of risk.
Right. Lisa Graustang, teacher and coordinator at the Codman Academy Charter Public School in Dorchester. Thanks so much for being with
us. Thank you so much.
Stay with us. Coming up, Congressman Bill Keating on gun legislation and his thoughts on a midterm election challenge. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.